Good evening. I want to join with Jamie in welcoming you, invite you to take your Bibles out and open them up as we consider some passages tonight from God's Word. What manner of spirit are you of? Paul wrote to the Ephesians in the fourth chapter, and in verse 26 over there, to be angry and do not sin. He said, do not let the sun go down upon your head. What manner of spirit are you? You ever get angry at anyone? Sometimes a driver might cut you off in traffic. Sometimes people in business will cheat you. They will take advantage of you. It can cost you lots of money. In some cases, cause people to have to declare bankruptcy, lose lots of money in the process because someone cheated them. It happens. There may be other things that could happen. I know of a student that was accused of cheating on an exam, was innocent, but still had to pay a penalty because the instructor was unfair, unjust. But it happened. It may be that someone has said bad things about you that weren't true. They said it behind your back, and it's like throwing feathers up on a mountain, and the wind just blows them, and you can't control where it goes. It happens. And it causes people to get angry. And certainly we don't want to be the ones who are accused of, or even guilty of doing those things. But sometimes we're the ones who are the innocent that those things have happened to. How do we respond to those sorts of things? How do we deal with those? Some of those thoughts are what we want to talk about tonight. When those things happen to us, it hurts. It can hurt. And it can cause us to have different reactions. Some of the reactions, as Paul wrote to the Ephesians, are to be angry, do not sin. Others cause us to be angry and sin, and that's what we want to avoid. So we want to look at those ideas a little bit tonight. Before we go on, I want to thank Adam. I was scheduled to speak on the third Sunday night, as is our custom, but as Rebecca and I are planning to be out of town next week, I asked if he would mind changing, and so he graciously agreed to do so. I want to thank him for doing that. So if you were expecting Adam to speak tonight, I apologize that you're going to have to listen to me, but come back next Sunday and you'll get to hear him Sunday morning and Sunday night. We'll make up for you next Sunday. So how should we respond when someone makes us angry? The answer is not that difficult. It's the doing it that's difficult. We can see what the answer is pretty simply. But it's the doing it, the making application of it, that becomes much more difficult. And so we want to look a little bit more at that tonight. It's easy to respond in kind, to retaliate, but it's not so easy to do the right thing always. So let's look at the scriptures and see if they give us some clues, some insight into some things that we can do to help us along the way to do that which is right under those circumstances. We want to begin our study in the Old Testament. Now, we go back and we recall the covenant that God had made with Abraham, and then he renewed it with Isaac and with Jacob. Three parts to the covenant. You recall that he was made a covenant that of his descendants would become a great nation. You recall that there would be a land promise, and you recall that through his seed, and as Paul wrote to the Galatians, seed in singular, not plural, but through his seed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. And that seed had reference, of course, to Jesus. Well, you recall that during Jacob's lifetime, toward the end of it, how that his son Joseph had been sold into slavery by his brothers and had been ended up as a slave to Potiphar in Egypt. And you recall, well, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this. A lot of this is just for our background, but you recall how that God showed favor to Joseph, and over a period of time, he was elevated because he was able to interpret dreams, and the Pharaoh recognized that this power came from God, and that Joseph was elevated to a very high authoritative position in Egypt. And you recall that during a severe famine, that Jacob and his family all migrated, moved down to Egypt where that Joseph could take care of them during those years of hard times and famine that were coming and did come. You also recall that after the death of Joseph and after the death of the Pharaoh that brought him, that put Joseph in that lofty position, that another Pharaoh rose who didn't remember Joseph, didn't know what Joseph had done for Egypt, and he became afraid of the Hebrew people. And so they ended up finding themselves in slavery and in bondage to the Egyptians. And they were in that condition for roughly 430 years until Moses led them out. God led them through Moses out of Egyptian bondage. And what really was just a few months' journey from Egypt to the Promised Land became a much longer odyssey for them because of their lack of faith. Because God had sent spies to go into the land, spy out the land through Joshua, or with Joshua and Caleb among the 12 spies that went in, and they brought back a good report. But because of the bad report of the other 10, the children of Israel were forced to wander in the years for 40 days because of their lack of faith.